بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد my brothers and sisters I want to remind myself and you know people who work in the Middle East especially people from our part of the world which is Indians Pakistanis and so on And more or less this applies to everybody, exceptions apart. But those who work in the Middle East, they know that they will never be allowed to settle there. They will not be given permanent residence, they will not be given citizenship. Not like people who come here to come to stay. But in the Middle East, you may want to stay, but they will never let you do that. So what people do is that they earn They work very hard, they earn money. They live in very modest circumstances, even though they may be earning a big salary. But they will not rent a big villa or something. They will stay in a small apartment, a small house. And they transfer their money back home to their home country. And they will build a house in Pakistan or India or somewhere and all their assets. This is because they are sure that they will have to go there one day. They know they cannot stay here. They have to go there. So, they will spend, on an average, a person will spend maybe 40, 45 years in service in the Middle East. So, maybe say he came to the Middle East at the age of say 20, 25, he spends another 45 years. So, by the time he is ready to go back, he is 65 or 70 years old. Now, if he is going back home at the age of 70, he is not living for another 70 years. He will not even live for another 40 years. So, he is actually sending back and building a house and so on for a time period that is going to be much less than what he actually spent in the Middle East. So, he spent that long period of time with very little, deliberately, in order to save and build something in his home back town, right? Now, question is, what do we do with regard to where we have to go? We also know that we are never going to get permanent residence of this dunya. We have to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what are we sending back there? Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik, the Khalifa of Banu Umayyah, he was the Khalifa after Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. He came to Makkah for Umrah, and after he completed Umrah, he asked people, he said, are there any of the Tabi'in, are they here in Makkah? So they took him to one of the Tabi'un, rahimahullah ta'ala. So Al-Walid asked him, he said, I am afraid of death. Why? Why am I afraid of death? So, this Tabi'i, this Wali of Allah, inshallah, he said to him, where is your palace? So, he said, I have not one, I have many palaces. But where I live is in Baghdad, so that is there, everywhere. He said, that is why you are afraid of death. Because all your palaces are here in this dunya. One is in Baghdad, one is here, one is there, one is there. But for the Akhirah, have you built a palace there? No. So, if you have not prepared for some place and you have to go there, naturally you are afraid. I don't know what will happen to me because all my wealth and all my power and all my comfort and luxury is here. What we don't realize, and I remind myself and you, is to think about this. Is how sudden and unexpected it can be, this going. I will tell you two true stories which happened with me. I know them personally. One was it would have been 1984. I was in the tea gardens, the tea plantations. One of the agricultural jobs, one of the planting jobs they do there is they have silver oak trees planted in the tree in between the tea fields to give some shade. There's a straight tree, goes straight up. So these silver oak trees have to be lopped. The growth has to be cut from time to time to regulate the amount of sunlight that comes onto the tea leaves. We need the sunlight, but we don't want too much sunlight. We don't want too little. So two or three times a year, workers will go up the tree and they will cut those branches. So one day there was this gang of workers. There were maybe about 10, 12 of them. They were working together. So each one on one tree. So one guy was sitting on the tree on top. And he must have been about maybe 15 or 18 feet up in the air. And he didn't feel good. He felt something not well with him. So he climbed down. So when he climbed down, his other workers were there. They asked him what happened. He said, "I'm not feeling too well." So they gave him some water. He sat down there in the shade. They gave him some tea. And they said, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" He said, "No." The hospital from where this man was, literally you could see it. It was that close, right close, maybe less than half a kilometer away. So they asked him, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" He said, "No, I'm okay. I'm fine now. I drank my tea and all this." Then he climbed back up and there was a fork in the tree, was sitting like this in the fork. And he started working. The other workers went up. Suddenly somebody heard a thud, thump. And that was the knife, the chopper of the man, which fell from his hand. And he was dead. He was sitting 15 feet up in the tree, in the fork, dead. Right? So his qadar was that he is going to die on top of a tree. So he was on top of a tree, he came down, he drank tea, everything else, but he went back up. He cannot die below the tree. He cannot die on the ground because that is not his qadar. His qadar is to die on top of the tree. So he has to climb up to the top of the tree in order to die. Second story. One of our ustads, one of our great ulama from South Africa, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Marana Yunus Patel, Rahmatullah Ali. I was going to the UK, to London. And in Dubai airport in the lounge, I was sitting having some tea. I saw Marana Yunus Patel walking inside, he and his wife. So I got up and I greeted him and so on and so forth. And I said, "Marana, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going for Umrah." So I said, "From here you," he said, "No, from here I'll go to Medina first. And then from Medina, then I will, you know, go to Makkah for Umrah." So anyway, we had this very nice talk and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah. And then he said, "Next time you come to," I used to meet him every time I went to South Africa. "So next time you come, we must meet and this and this and this," all this. He went to Medina, Alhamdulillah. He spent a few days there. Then he went to Makkah. He made Umrah. And after the Umrah, he was sitting in the Mataf, looking at the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him to himself. After Umrah, in the Mataf, sitting, looking at the Kaaba, he passed away. Rahmatullah Ali. Now my point is, when I met him in Dubai, did he know that? Did he know that he was going, not only did he not know that he was going to die, he did not know that Allah was going to give him inshallah this great honor of dying in this way. Alhamdulillah. Now we all ask for this for ourselves inshallah. Did he know? Did I know? No. Now think about this, that Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, that was to be his last flight. He obviously had a return ticket because you need a return ticket to get a visa. But he did not know that return part of the ticket he was not going to use. He was not coming back because he is buried in Al-Mala, in Jannat Al-Mala, in Makkah. Now this is the issue. The issue is that we think we will do this and that and that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has another plan for us. So the issue is, now the first man I told you the story, he was a Hindu Indian guy. He is not a Muslim, not even a Muslim. So whether you are good or bad, whether you are a mu'min or a believer or a disbeliever or what, makes no difference. We have to go and we don't know when we will go. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors those who are true to him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who he will forgive inshallah when we meet him. But what is our preparation? That is my reminder to myself. What is my preparation for when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's as simple as that. Because when we meet Allah in this dunya, if I need something, there are so many people. There are relatives, there are friends, this one, that one. I can ask somebody, somebody will help me, something will happen, right? I mean, somebody will do something. But when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, there is nobody there. Nobody. We cannot, there is no one who is going to be standing there with us to help us. There is no intercession, there is no shafaat, illa mashaAllah. Except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to, and we ask Allah to grant us the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to focus on ourselves and say, what is my preparation? What am I sending before me? What will I take with me when I go? Because materially we will take nothing. Whether we, as I said, good or bad, makes no difference. And nobody knows what time he's going. Can be at any time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to live a life where whenever that time comes, it will come for us in a state of obedience to him. That we are in a state of sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both physically as well as figuratively speaking, because the life of a mu'min is in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a life like that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state where he is pleased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us in a state when he is pleased with us in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shade us under the shade of his arsh on the day when there will be no shade except his shade. We ask Allah jalla jalaluhu to enable us to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his house and to make salam to him, and that he should return our salam and give dua to us. And we ask Allah to receive the water of Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we cross the sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah grants us Jannatul Firdaus A'la bi ghairi hisab without any question to us, insha'Allah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.